The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And now, from the rooftop of the Rockies, it's Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn.
Hour three, Backbone Radio, back at you here. July 5th, 2020. Oh, we're feeling good. We're feeling patriotic as we're watching the left go way off the deep end. Oh, man. Low political IQ on the left these days. They think, yeah, you know, tearing down Mount Rushmore, toppling Washington, Lincoln. They're that somehow like smart politics. No. And President Trump has harnessed that as an issue heading into November, and that is the right fighting response. We know who these people are. They've showed us, given them some time to show us who they are, good and clearly. And now it's time for the rubber band to snap back. You saw the McCloskeys in St. Louis. His wife holding a handgun, him holding an AR-15, standing there on his lawn, fending off the mob. Best advertisement you will have ever seen for an AR-15. Saved their home, could have saved their lives with what's been going on with the riots lately. Get ready for the Seattle mayor is disbanding the CHAZ, the CHOP, whatever they want to call that anarchic district in Seattle. They started to encroach upon the Seattle mayor's home, and she said, all right, time to cut this down. And there was a bunch of shootings in there, and it was really sad death from an individual African-American fellow who was on the Hannity program. President Trump said, hey, I might be wrong, but I think let's just sit back and watch this disaster for now. Now the Democrats are playing cleanup duty. They're deleting their tweets about Mount Rushmore. We've hit the turning point. Trump is going to be on offense now. Democrats are going to be playing defense. Watch the debate shift. I think the Rushmore speech is a turning point in the right direction. And Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's pimp, has been arrested. She is in jail. I'm going to do some segments on that as soon as the lines open up a little bit. So get ready. And by the way, the Democrats are so paranoid, they're going to try to impeach A.G. Barr. They've come up with another Russia hoax, which has already been debunked. Whatever happened to Bolton? He's gone away. Spygate indictments looming with Durham. I think we've got some pretty cool stuff happening between now and November, ladies and gentlemen. Ghislaine Maxwell segment's coming up here. And let me go in order. And Gary, welcome. What thoughts are you having tonight, sir?
This Matt?
Yeah.
Talking to West Point Gary?
West Point. Okay, my man.
Yes.
Happy 4th.
Yes. Not just Gary. Anyway, my point is, you know, the Democrats are finally, the lefties, knuckleheads, whatever they are finally showing interest in the reports. You know, they want to see the paperwork. They want to see who's do whatever. There's no reason in the world we have to show them anything yet. But I do hope that very soon somebody will show what's going on with that.
With what exactly you're talking about?
Report.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, look. I've always said, and you know this, let's get one indictment out there.
Yes.
Get one.
Well, and A.G. Barr said that it might not be till Labor Day you get something from Durham, but I kind of wonder, it seems like the deep state is acting so nervous and they're expending so much incoming.
Yeah, they went to court.
But they're acting so panicked. I almost wonder if like things are going on behind the scenes that have really got them worried about Durham. Does he have some kind of a grand jury impaneled or a handful of them, and what's really going on? And A.G. Barr, his statements, if you take them at you know, eye level, they are devastating for the deep state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get it on before it's too late.
I'm ready if you're ready, Gary.
Oh, I am. I'm preparing myself for
I figured
what I hope
you might be ready.
Happen.
I had a feeling you'd be ready, West Point.
Yeah, well, I just don't want to have to participate in the lunacy that's going on with, you know, it's like I say, only Marxists and lefties have their hands out, and there's two reasons. One, they get handcuffs, or two, they get handouts.
Well, You know, and by the way, they want to tear down, does the left, they want to tear down the statues of our American heroes and founders, but they want to put up statues of Karl Marx because, yeah, Black Lives Matter is known to be a Marxist institution. Well, the leaders that were trained Marxists. So if you want statues up of Karl Marx, yeah, just vote for Biden. That's what you do there.
I'll tell you what, I will drive to, if there is an adequate time to deal with it, I will drive up and actually stand there with whoever is protecting Mount Rushmore.
Yep.
I will do that. And
you won't be alone. You won't be alone.
Well, when I saw the jets flying over it, I was hoping they'd do a little something, but obviously they can't. But
those are some pretty sweet photos, West Point, and I'll tell you what, we better keep on marching here. Thank you, West Point. You are the man. Happy 4th to you. And we veer over to, there's Father Hugh now. Father Hugh, welcome aboard. Were your ears ringing?
Yes, I heard you.
Yes.
And I will say this, I have to throw a bouquet to Michael Brown, because he christened Mitch McConnell lard butt.
Yeah.
That's what I affectionately call him. He says, by the way, little fact, which you know, but the audience may not. Lard butt's wife, Elaine Chao, who was the Secretary of Transportation, her family is, I don't know whether they're in Hong Kong or not, they have significant shipping interests. And so you can be sure that Elaine's position is strategic. Anything that we might do.
Yeah, it's the global economy. And, you know, like I said, it's an America first versus an America last election. And Mitch McConnell, unfortunately, is on the wrong side of that. And unfortunately, so Trump has to deal with that. Like, he has to deal with the Paul Ryans and the Lindsey Grahams of the world. And it's a shame.
And the only other comment about lard butt, on the day that they dropped the emails that Strzok had said, revealed that Obama and Biden were in on the planning of the Flynn thing, get him, they interviewed Mitch McConnell, which is rare. He doesn't really appear. And instead of really commenting, he said, isn't it amazing how these things come out after a while? Hey, Mitch, biggest scandal in the history of the country, and that's all you have to say?
Yeah, that's Mitch for you. And just watch for the sleeper cells to activate, and watch for subtle ways in which Mitch McConnell will try to undermine President Trump heading into November, along with Nikki Haley, who is useless and awful, along with Liz Cheney, who is also useless and terrible. Don't need any more Cheneys around. Joni Ernst is in that category. Watch for these, like, establishment Republicans to kind of, like, throw their little seeds of doubt and to try to find some way, when the debate is getting serious, to try to find some way to undermine Trump. And just expect that, everybody. That's going to happen. And just take notes, because when Nikki Haley puts her name up for election next time around, I'm saying no way ever, period, to Nikki Haley.
I don't know why Trump hasn't had a nervous breakdown or a stroke. But putting that aside, isn't it delicious? Everybody's pulling down the monuments, and Trump says, oh, I forgot to tell you, we're going to have a statuary garden.
Yeah, we're going to have the American Monument for National Hero, the American Garden.
The greatest.
Yeah.
And up yours.
Love it.
Now, do you have a moment for Flynn?
Lay it on, brother.
Quick,
father, brother.
All, what we know... The D.C. Circuit has told, on the 24th of June, told Judge Sullivan, dismiss it. Nothing has happened from Judge Sullivan. So those are the two pieces we have. The D.C. Circuit then, at Sidney Powell's instance, rendered an opinion saying, that's the one on the 24th.
Yeah.
Do it and get it out of the way. There's more to be said about that, but I'll pass because you're more interested in the deadline, I think. There was no deadline in the order to get it done, but Sidney Powell was on Randy yesterday.
Yeah.
And she mentioned the 15th of July, and that's the expiration date for Judge Sullivan to appeal the mandamus.
Yeah. So he might have some more tricks up his sleeve, and he can maybe ask for the en banc review to have the entire Third Circuit look at it.
Yes.
But so the 15th, he'll sit on it until as long as he can.
By the way, it isn't the Third Circuit. I think that's Sundance has beguiled you. It's the D.C.
Oh, yeah, D.C. Circuit, yeah.
His own, it's three judges on the D.C. Circuit.
You're exactly right.
And the Third Circuit is like Ohio and Illinois.
You're right.
That sort of thing.
Yep.
Anyway, that's trivial.
I love it when a Harvard attorney can reel me back in when I venture out a little too far.
Do?
Yeah.
That's it. under the threat of being cut off. But the only other thing, this is going to be sour, and before anybody...
And it's got to be fast, because we're about done. Lay it on.
Anybody can... I marched with Martin Luther King. My mother worked with blacks for 25 years as a social worker. Don't tell me I'm a racist. Either they have something on Sullivan, or he's covering for Obama. And what bothers me is the dissenting opinion was written by a guy by the name of Robert Wilkins, to the glories of Harvard Law School once again.
Is he a Harvard guy? And his opinion was terrible. I know you read it. And here is the wall. But Father Hugh, thank you, sir. Be right back.
News Talk 710 KNUS. News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. This is Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn. News Talk 710 KNUS.
Bob Rockins, MTV on the RCA, no AC in the vents. We were Jesus, Sammy, Blue Jean Baby, born in the USA. Trailer park, truck stop, faded little map dots, New York to L.A. We were teenage dreaming, front seat leaning, baby, come give me a kiss. Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone, Uptown, Down Home, American Kids.
American Kids, isn't that right? Yeah, little Kenny Chesney here, little July 4th American Kids spirit. And man, we're running the line so hot tonight that it's hard to get to some of my commentary, and I appreciate that. I'm going to get to everybody. Just if you can, hang on just a segundo. I have got to get to this Ghislaine Maxwell real quick. And Ghislaine Maxwell, I've been teeing this up for a while, but she is the pimp, the partner in crime of Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein is the guy who did not kill himself in prison, and he got thrown in the slammer. Done a few segments on Epstein over the years, and it is very interesting that Ghislaine has now gotten herself arrested, and this occurred 12 days after AG Barr dispatched Jeffrey Berman from the SDNY top perch in that district court up there. So Berman's out. Oh, and then all of a sudden Ghislaine Maxwell gets arrested. She was residing at some large house in rural New Hampshire, okay? And I have some things to say, but let me just get one. This is one little stamp of news here from the prosecutor this is the replacement to Berman, who says this right at the start, then Jesse Waters.
Jeffrey Epstein's closest confidant and alleged madam under arrest. Ghislaine Maxwell hiding out in the small town of Bedford, New Hampshire, when taken into custody by the FBI. Epstein's former flame now facing 6 federal charges and 35 years in prison, including the most serious count, enticement of a minor to travel to engage in sexual acts.
They would befriend these young girls by asking them questions about their lives, pretending to be taking an interest in them. They would take them to the movies and treat them to shopping trips. Maxwell would encourage these young girls to accept offers from Epstein to pay for their travel and their education, making these young victims feel indebted to Jeffrey Epstein.
Okay, and that is the attorney who replaced Berman, and I just can't pull her name off the top of my head at the moment. But there's Ghislaine Maxwell in jail, and I've seen some reports that say that Ghislaine Maxwell will crack on moment one that she's in jail. She will talk. She will spill the beans. I've seen other reports that says that she will be cooperating fully with the FBI. We shall see. It's an extremely bizarre story, this entire Epstein background and history, and Ghislaine Maxwell. Apparently, he's a close friend of Bill Clinton's, and apparently there's people that think Jesse Waters, I believe, does say that Ghislaine Maxwell and Bill Clinton were romantically linked at some point. But if I could just cut to the chase here, I think the Clintons are very uncomfortable with Ghislaine Maxwell being in prison. The flip side of that is maybe they feel like, oh, if she's in prison, then maybe she can be dispatched the way Jeffrey Epstein was. Not saying that we know that Clinton was involved in the dismissal of Jeffrey Epstein in prison, but just saying, okay? But if you look at the history of Epstein and you look at Ghislaine Maxwell and her history and her background, and if you look at some of the things about her father, Robert Maxwell, the British financier who had an untimely demise on his yacht was named the Lady Ghislaine. He was assassinated, according to Ghislaine, said that, yeah, her father was killed. There's all kinds of ties and overlap with different intelligence agencies around the world with the Maxwells and probably with Jeffrey Epstein. And if I get to the point, in my opinion, what Ghislaine Maxwell and Epstein were doing were getting blackmailable material. They were people who were out to get information on powerful political and cultural figures so that they could be blackmailed and controlled by the political class or by intelligence agencies. Okay? That's the way it works in D.C. You know, you go to D.C. and it was on this very program, Dr. Dave Danda said, don't ever go to a party or drink any liquid there because something could be in it. Next thing you know, there's going to be pictures of you that some people have because, you know, you got your beverage spiked and then there's blackmailable information on you out there. And anyway, that's the way DC works. I hate to tell you this, and this might sound a little bit out there, but I just want to get to the point on this. I think that this was an information blackmail gathering operation on a lot of powerful figures. Ghislaine Maxwell knows a hell of a lot of stuff, as did Jeffrey Epstein. A lot of powerful people want them both dead. One is down, Jeffrey Epstein. What's going to happen with Ghislaine? I think it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays. Okay? I think, hopefully, they will have about 900 different cameras on her prison cell. Hopefully, they will actually have, like, real prison guards there. Maybe even, like, a contingent of the Secret Service protecting the life of Ghislaine Maxwell in jail. And hopefully she will shed some light on the horrible things that these people have been up to. Just horrible and disgusting. You look at what these people were doing. It is repulsive. I don't care what intel agencies they were working with. They don't get to treat people that way, treat young girls that way, and live those kinds of lives. I don't care whatever cause they think they were engaging in. These people need to be caught, trapped, persecuted. And I would like to see where this rabbit hole leads. And it's a big rabbit hole, ladies and gentlemen. And at this kind of power politics level, I have no idea what's going to happen and how that's all going to play out. Just none. All right? And I'm going to do a little bit more when we get back to the other side here, but to the phone lines, Rich in Manhattan. Rich, what's the New York Field Report? How are you, sir?
Getting better, Doc. Listen, from the land of the nightly gunfire, we are being worse than Chicago. It's scary. Every day I wake up and have to hear about gun counts. It's crazy.
Yeah. Do you feel like your personal safety is at risk living there in the heart of Manhattan?
Oh, no. I live in a very safe neighborhood. That doesn't happen near where I live.
Okay.
But listen, these statues that are being taken down and these demands to change history. As a sports guy, now the Baseball Most Valuable Player Award is named after the first commissioner, Judge Landis, that came in after the Black Sox scandal.
Yeah.
Now, he's known to keep blacks out of baseball. Jackie Robinson didn't get in until after he was dead. Now, they want to change the name of the MVP trophy and honor it to Frank Robinson, who's a great player, Hall of Fame player, and the first player to win the MVP in both the American and National League, and he was the first African-American manager in baseball with the Indians in the 70s. Oh, forgot, can't say the Indians. Now they're changing their name, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking of the statues. Are you familiar with Monument Park at Yankee Stadium?
No, I have never been there, actually.
Okay, well, Monument Park is beyond the outfield fence where you could go before the game, and they got monuments for Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig, Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle, things like that. And I was thinking, if these crazy people, if you have one discretion in your life, in your past, they're going to want those statues down. Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, both big womanizers in their day, and Joe DiMaggio was known to slap around his first wife.
And he married Marilyn Monroe. Are they going to
Yankees statues got to go too?
Yeah. We only got a few seconds, but Bill de Blasio shaving $1 billion off the New York City Police Department. What do you think of that, Rich? Is that a good idea?
No, because it's probably, in addition to the million his wife stole by running some sort of mental illness program that no one seems to account for what the results of the money went to.
Wow. But you're not escaping from New York yet, huh, Rich? You're staying put for now?
I'm a wife to doc.
Right on, right on.
KNUS Denver, a Salem Media Group station. This is Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn, News Talk 710 KNUS.
Well, let's go down to the bayou on this July 4th weekend here. Little diggy, liggy, low. Oh, if that isn't America, nothing is. Hope you're having a great patriotic 4th as we are around here. We're enjoying every minute of it, and we're working our way through the PSYOP, and they've gone so far over the edge. I mean, how many people had to die in the chop in Seattle before the mayor decided that she would clean that up? How many protesters have been killed? And over at Shem Horns on his Twitter feed, an 8-year-old killed last night. Quote, they say Black Lives Matter. You killed your own this time. You killed a child. That is the left. That is the face of the left in this country right now, folks. They've gone way too far. They made the mistake of showing us who they are. And now Ghislaine Maxwell arrested. Will she testify? I'll go to the phones here in a minute. She's got an awful lot to say. But one of the things to understand, and this is hard for most people, but I think you read, you learn, but blackmail politics, blackmail is the currency of the Beltway. There are so many trillions of dollars at stake that people in power, and yes, probably even intelligence agencies, find some way to blackmail and leverage people if they ever become a threat to their own power or any of their trillions. Donald Trump is such a problem is because they never could find anything that they could control him with. They never found anything they could really blackmail him with. They threw everything they had at him. The best they had was that Access Hollywood video, but that didn't work. It failed. They got nowhere with that little deal. And so in the end, they had to make stuff up. They had to make up all the Russian stuff and him like in a Russian hotel room with prostitutes peeing on the bed. They had to make stuff up. If they can't blackmail you with real stuff, they're going to make up stuff to try to blackmail you. Isn't that right, Comey, Clapper, Brennan? Isn't that right? Now, Ghislaine Maxwell behind bars, and will she talk? Let's hear what Tucker Carlson's little summary of this deal is.
Then delivered them into the trap that she and Epstein had set.
Maxwell has been all over the world recently, according to news reports, but authorities arrested her at an isolated home in central New Hampshire. Why? What was she doing there? What we know tonight is that Maxwell bought the house and the 156 acres it sits on last December. She bought it anonymously for $1 million in cash. Maybe now that she's under arrest, maybe she's on suicide watch tonight, we'll learn more about what she did for Jeffrey Epstein and what Jeffrey Epstein did. Where did all the money come from? And why were so many famous people always in the room? For example, the founder of LinkedIn, Reid Hoffman, was a close friend of Jeffrey Epstein's. Now he's a top donor to Joe Biden, and quite a moralizer, too. How much did Reid Hoffman know about what Jeffrey Epstein was doing? Will the FBI be questioning him? If not, why not? And what about the founder of Microsoft, Bill Gates? Gates made at least 3 visits to Jeffrey Epstein's townhouse. He called Epstein and his life, quote, intriguing in an email. That's intriguing on its own. Will we learn more? And what about former Harvard president and Obama administration official, Larry Summers, former Secretary of the Treasury under Bill Clinton? Summers flew on Epstein's plane and then got him to donate tens of millions of dollars to Harvard University, where Epstein did not go. And needless to say, there is Bill Clinton himself, who often flew on Epstein's plane and then lied about it. We deserve, in fact, we have a right to know what all of these people really knew about Jeffrey Epstein. Many mysteries yet to solve.
Many mysteries yet to solve, says Tucker Carlson. And by the way, the replacement for Jeffrey Berman is Audrey Strauss. Thank you, Ace, for that little reminder there. Audrey Strauss, you've heard her voice in a couple of our clips tonight, the one who has arrested Ghislaine Maxwell. And I'll tell you what's she going to say? What's she going to do? Will she survive her time in prison? A lot of powerful people are freaked out right now. And by the way, yeah, Bill Clinton lied about having hung out with Epstein, about the number of times he'd flown on the Epstein airplane, flying down to that Paradise Island and wherever else, God knows where around the world. But Jesse Waters, like this, just grab this one. Bill Clinton and Ghislaine Maxwell, what do you think of this?
We broke this on Waters World a couple weeks ago. We had Daniel Harper, the author, who has source told him that Bill Clinton was romantically involved with Ghislaine Maxwell. That was the primary reason that he was hanging out on Epstein's jet to begin with. He never even liked Epstein. He just liked Maxwell.
And I don't know. I don't know. But Jesse Waters on Fox News is saying that. Anyway, so people are going to be nervous. And that came out right before the July 4th holiday weekend. And interestingly enough, in terms of Spygate updates, yeah, that what was the fella's name that Berman, Jeffrey Berman, his last day was July 3rd. And there's a handful of other people that are out the door as of July 3rd. So July 4th, I think, has been some kind of a marker here, some kind of a demarcation, some kind of a line in the sand. And I think after that, you're going to see President Trump on offense. You're going to see AG Barr on offense. You're going to be hearing more about Durham and what he's having to say. So factor that into the equation heading into November, folks, and it's time to go on offense. And I only wish there was more Republicans who were not beholden to that establishment, to that deep state in some way, or I don't know, do they have something on some of these people that they could just get out and fight for the country's at stake? The left has made it very clear that the country is at stake, and that if Democrats get elected, that your life is at risk because they want to get rid of the Second Amendment. They want mob rule. They're in favor of all the riots. They want the wide open border. Well, Republicans maybe should get up and like do something, say something. Yeah, it's time. Hello. Thankfully, we have Donald Trump out there fighting the fellow who is unblackmailable. They have really tried and they have really failed. We are so lucky to have that patriot in there as president on another July 4th. Let's have at least four more. What do you say? Help make it happen, ladies and gentlemen. Spread the word if you would be so kind as to do so. This is a fight. You got to have the fighting spirit. And you can't let yourself be like affected by the propaganda. Like, oh, get your spirits down. Oh, who can you fight through that? Don't let them rattle you. Fight through it. To the phone lines, let us go. Wyoming. Wyoming Jack, how are you, sir? What's up?
I'm good. Let me hit you real quick with two items. The first one would be Maxwell. She's never going to testify. That's all I have to say about that.
You don't think so?
The
why not?
The second one, which is, there are too many people involved. There's too much at stake, and she's not going to testify. Trust me. You preserve that for the record, Your Honor.
Okay,
okay. Let me jump to the one that's really important.
Yeah.
The one that's really important is Judge Sullivan and the mandamus issue.
Yeah.
The people saying whether or not it's an appropriate application of a special function of the courts are completely wrong. It is 100% appropriate. Mandamus is designed to take any government official in any capacity when he is refusing to do his job to have a court order him to do it or to not do it. Either way, it's nothing new. It was a central part of Marbury Madison was mandamus. They brought it up in the wrong court was what the issue was. But anyway, mandamus should be used more often to make these government officials do what they should do. It's totally appropriate. It's not an appeal. It's a special judicial power that the courts have to make government officials do their job, and it should be used more often. It's totally appropriate. That's my point. It's totally appropriate. It's got nothing to do with fact issues. It's not a triable issue of the case.
Well, I'm in total agreement.
Discipline to the judge.
Well, I agree with you. Catherine Herridge just tweeted this less than an hour ago. She's the CBS News reporter formerly at Fox on the Judge Sullivan. She said, nearly 2 weeks after Court of Appeals ruled for dismissal, no public action from Judge Sullivan as of yet. So Sullivan hasn't moved yet, and we talked to Father Hugh. There is apparently no deadline specified in what Elaine Rao wrote in her majority 2-1 opinion on that D.C. circuit. But Sidney Powell apparently told Randy Corbin yesterday that July 15th is a deadline of some sort. So we'll see.
There's no affirmative defense for Judge Sullivan. He should be totally held on the mandamus.
Well, he's jumped completely outside of the Constitution. Yeah. And he's doing somebody's bidding, maybe Obama's.
My point is, it should be used more often, and the reason why people don't want it used is because it's too powerful, and if they use it, it'll be abused. I understand that point.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's totally appropriate. Totally. Okay, Matthew.
Right on, Wyoming Jack. You stay groovy up there. Happy 4th. And that's where everybody goes to get fireworks, by the way, is Wyoming. At least, you know, that's like third-party reports I hear, you know. At least going back to my childhood here in Denver. Go to Wyoming. And you get the good stuff. Isn't that right? I mean, I'm just rumors. Anyway, to the phones again. Jacqueline in Denver. Hello. How are you?
Hey, Matt. Great show. I'm a huge fan. And every time I listen to you, I always think, thank God someone speaks the truth.
Wow.
And I can't agree
so
more.
Honored.
I mean, you're right on.
Is it Jacqueline or Jackie? Or
it's Jackie, but it's
Jackie.
Jacqueline.
Okay, great.
Yeah. I just wanted to make a point about something that no one has brought up, really. And if they have, I apologize, but I haven't heard it. But with the Black Lives Matter movement, I haven't heard anyone say anything about all the unborn Black lives.
Mm.
They don't seem to matter. And since we know abortion is, indiscriminate, and more, apparently the numbers are much higher for the Black community. I'm stunned. I haven't heard anybody say that.
And when
you mentioned the 8-year-old kid being killed, it made me think of that.
Yep, President Trump mentioned unborn and born Black lives in his speech at Mount Rushmore. I can't quite pull it up real quick. Did you hear him say that? Yeah.
Yes.
But why?
From BLM.
Why don't we hear more about that? I mean, that is huge. What you're describing.
I agree. It's huge. I haven't heard anybody talk about it.
Well,
and thanks so much for what you do. I love how you rally the troops, and I can't agree more that people just need to ignore all the polls and all that stuff. Heads are going to roll. You've seen it. And I've always trusted Donald Trump to have a plan. He seems to always surprise us. So,
right on, Jacqueline. I'll tell you what,
you
must call us back. Call us back more often, Jacqueline. Thank you. Be right back.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. Now, back to Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn, News Talk 710 KNUS.
Wave fair and stranger.
I know dark clouds will gather around me.
Sacred Sunday at Backbone Radio.
My way is rough and steep. The beauteous fields lie just before me. God's redeemed, their victims keep. I'm going there to see my mother.
This sound good.
She said she need me when I come. I'm only going over Jordan. I'm only going over home.
Susie Boggess there, her version of Wayfaring Stranger. That is one of my favoritos, and I can thank my sweet pink little wife for that one. She loves that version of Wayfaring Stranger, and I should give her more credit for our impeccable music selection around here, because she vetoes stuff. She says, don't play that one. But no, use this one. I'm like, okay. She's an attorney, so I just listen, right? Anyway, welcome back. Final segment here, and great call from Jacqueline just now. And yeah, Jacqueline, you have to call back more. You have to call back more. We haven't heard enough from you over the years, but I found the quote that I was thinking of, President Trump's Mount Rushmore speech. I don't have the audio, but here is the quote. He talked about, the born and the unborn. Here's the quote. "We believe in equal opportunity, equal justice, and equal treatment for citizens of every race, background, religion, and creed. Every child of every color, born and unborn, is made in the holy image of God." And when I watched that, the crowd just started clapping for that one. Born and unborn. Every child born and unborn is made in the holy image of God. Thank you, Jacqueline, for stirring that quote up out of us here. And yeah, you don't hear enough said about that. You just don't hear enough. And by the way, that is the speech. You hear that? That speech is considered dark and divisive by the New York Times. The mainstream media condemning the speech. And yeah, the Senator Duckworth from Illinois is talking about, oh, Trump's, all he's doing is praising dead traitors, the dead traitors on Mount Rushmore. It was an incredibly inclusive, uniting speech. But the left doesn't want us united. They're the ones dividing us, and they're trying to blame Trump for the divisions. You know, you see the game. You see the game. We know the game. And I am glad President Trump has let the rubber band stretch a little ways, but now they're being arrested. The CHOP is being dismantled. And, the ringleader, the Antifa guy that was tearing down the Andrew Jackson Monument in Lafayette Square, got arrested. Bunch of arrests, 10 years in prison. That's how you do it. Just quietly, calmly, methodically arrest these terrorists, these domestic terrorists. General Flynn has a great essay out in the Western Journal, headline, "If we don't act, 2% of the people are about to control the other 98%. Time to act." Very inspiring from General Flynn, who I do think, in spite of it all, is on the verge of freedom. Interesting quote from Sidney Powell, Flynn's attorney, that came out a couple of days ago. She was doing a radio interview with Vicky McKenna, and Sidney Powell said this, quote, "General Flynn was going to audit the intel agencies because he knew about the billions Brennan and company were running off the books." Whoo! Yeah. Flynn knew about the billions that CIA Brennan was running off the books. I think that kind of makes sense. And by the way, I didn't get to this segment. Oh, there's so many I'm leaving on the table tonight. 4.8 million jobs created last month, 2.8 million the month before in May. This economy is coming right back. Unemployment is down to only 11.1%. People are hiring. Even Jim Cramer saying this.
"There's an optimism in the country that I think is often not shared with people who are on air. And that's only because we don't see the hiring. But people are hiring. I found it astonishing."
Yeah, they are hiring. They are hiring. Here's more. Financial trader, this guy.
"I think the other thing about today is we're clearly in a new economic recovery. There's no way they can call these last 2 months a recession any longer. So we've started a new economic recovery, which means we're probably in a new bull market."
Yeah, it's James Paulson, very famous investor there. And by the way, Rachel Maddow said it was going to be bad, bad numbers. Rachel Maddow, here's how she was advertising the lead into these numbers.
"We're actually going to get the jobless numbers, the unemployment numbers for the month of June, a day earlier than we would otherwise expect them. So we would usually get those on a Friday. They're going to come out tomorrow. That'll tell us unemployment figures for June. Brace yourself. It's going to be absolutely terrible."
Rachel Maddow has no credibility. All those years, Russia, 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 all that was a goose egg and a zero. And there she is saying, oh, they're going to be terrible. Oh, 4.8 million new jobs, all time record numbers for new jobs. And yeah, Rachel Maddow said, it's going to be so bad. And VP Mike Pence had this to say, interviewed.
"Good morning, Wilf. Good to be with you. It's a great day in America."
Indeed, Mr. Vice President, as you're suggesting, a very strong jobs number, adding 4.8 million jobs, the expectation 2.9. 2 months in a row of positive beats in that regard. You must be very pleased.
"Well, we're very pleased. As the president said this morning, this is evidence that the American economy is coming back strong, which is a testament to the resilience and strength of the American people. But it's also a testament, unquestionably, to the historic steps President Trump took to see our nation through this coronavirus pandemic. The mitigation efforts, the rescue packages, they're all confirmed today. Nearly 5 million jobs created. And when we look at the number of jobs that were lost initially through this pandemic at the worst moment, some 22 million jobs lost, we've cut that now by a third. Put 8 million Americans. We've lowered that number, unemployment down to 11%. This is a great day for America, and it's a great tribute to the leadership of President Donald Trump.
Here comes the golden MAGA economy snapping right back, ladies and gentlemen. The Democrats, the left, they're going to try to shut down the economy again. They're going to say, oh, COVID, got to shut it down again. Ah, they have to shut down the economy to win in November.
Don't let it happen. Oh, no. Don't let it happen. Ladies and gentlemen, and let's get one more visit in. John and Parker, we're just out of time, but you have a quick synthetic summary point here.
I do, from Parker. Last night, fireworks were probably at least 4 hours strong. They were uplifting, inspiring, and hopeful, which is what your show is every Sunday. So,
right on, John. And by the way, John, I have heard people in Parker and Castle Rock and all through Denver Metro saying the same thing. That's awesome. John, thank you for checking in with that uplifting coda to the program. All the best to you. And John, if you can, call back more often if you would when we have more time. Appreciate it.
Saddle Pals, checking out for this July 4th. And again, oh, what a lucky people we are to have Patriot President Trump in there right now, a July 4th with him in there. Oh, Saddle Pals, it doesn't get better. Goodbye. Hang tough to the PSYOP. They got more to come, but we're ready for it. Till next Sunday.
We are better together. News Talk 710 KNUS, Denver. News now.